I rise for a few moments to talk a little bit about where we're at in our process here. You know, today is June 22nd, 8 days before we have to bring to closure a budget, and in literally the last week or so, where we have a requirement and an obligation to the people of Pennsylvania to put forth a budget proposal that we will be voting on here in the Senate and hopefully in the House and signed by the governor. To do that, Mr. President, we know that this administration has put on the table a number of very, very important issues and policy issues that we need to work through. And, Mr. President, I think they've been well enunciated in terms of what they have been and what they are. And they start with the issue of education, making certain that we provide an adequate level of funding for all of our schools across our Commonwealth. So the governor has proposed something that Senate Democrats for a number of years have been talking about, restoring some of the $1 billion in cuts that Governor Corbett hoisted upon the people of Pennsylvania. So Senate Democrats for the last several years have been advocating for a gradual increase over the course of the years to get those resources back. And this governor's put forth a proposal of around $400 million, an overall $1 billion budget restoration in terms of those dollars. But the people of Pennsylvania made it very, very clear that their priority was education funding. And they asked us to look to the Marcellus industry as part of the solution. Part of the solution that needs to be something that is reasonable and responsible and is something that addresses what needs to be done here in the Commonwealth. We've also heard a lot of discussion about other areas where people want us to take action, in the area of property tax relief. Mr. President, as I go around my district and I think and I look around this room and see many of my colleagues, they too, I know, hear from their Commonwealth residents about the impact that state cuts to education have occurred as it relates to their property tax bills and the tax increases they've experienced. And they too, particularly our seniors, are looking for some level of property tax relief to allow us, to allow them, I should say, to be able to make ends meet and not be forced to be removed or evicted from their homes. Now, the House has sent us a vehicle over to the side of the building that while may not be perfect, but it's somewhat consistent with what the governor has talked about. Later this week, you will see Senate Democrats roll out a proposal which we think is comprehensive and addresses what needs to be done with respect to driving home property tax relief to homeowners. Beyond that, we have other issues around the issue of pensions. The issue of pensions is something that Senate Democrats have talked about again for a couple of years. And while our colleagues on the other side of the aisle put forth the proposal, aspects of which we think were maybe not appropriate for Pennsylvania, I applaud them for their efforts to be able to do that and recognizing that that's something we need to address. And we, too, believe that that's an issue that needs to be addressed as we go forward before we conclude our budget discussions. And, Mr. President, when you start to put these different issues and items on a scale, where the people of Pennsylvania want us to look to and what they want us to do here in Pennsylvania, the issue that's really driving this train here in Harrisburg is one that has probably the least amount of support among the public. Now, there have been conversations about education funding. There have been conversations which I believe have been fruitful between both sides of this aisle and the Senate and the administration on the issue of pensions, and I think that's a positive step. However, Mr. President, the issue that also becomes sort of, in my view, my personal view, a roadblock to us to getting somewhere is the issue of wine and spirit modernization, wine and spirit privatization, I should say. That is an issue that I think now stands at a roadblock to us to get something done without parties being willing to compromise. Now, I said many times before, Senate Democrats have offered something which we think makes a lot of sense, represents a compromise from where we're at today with respect to our wine and spirit shops. We know that we have an asset in the shops that need to continue to improve and provide for greater access to the residents of this Commonwealth and to address issues like pricing and hiring practices and the like, and store hours and the convenience and along those lines. And we put together a modernization proposal. But if you put everything on the spectrum, where you have status quo on your far right, and then you've got wine and spirit privatization on your left, what I believe the Senate Democrats and others in this chamber, I think, believe on both sides of the aisle, including what the administration has done, we've moved towards the middle with respect to the issue of wine and spirit modernization. Unfortunately, we can't get folks on the other side of the building to want to move forward and move towards the middle as well with respect to the issue of wine and spirit privatization. My view is we need to come together and find common ground on all these issues. And if we have chambers or caucuses that are unwilling to be able to do that, to me, that serves to the detriment of the people of Pennsylvania. As I see it, the number one issue is education in this Commonwealth. Property tax is a high priority. Addressing our pension system is a high priority. And the list goes on. But at the bottom of the list, the people of Pennsylvania, I see and I feel and I look at polling data, that's way at the bottom of the list. 2%, I think, in the most recent poll, 2% of the people across Pennsylvania want us to do wine and spirit privatization. Certainly we know people want us to modernize our asset, and we stand ready to be able to do that. But at the end of the day, we cannot let hardcore position on a particular issue stand as a roadblock, as a barrier to providing education funding to our Commonwealth residents. Our kids in Pennsylvania, it's very, very clear. The people of Pennsylvania through that past election told us they want us to invest in education. They want us to fix property taxes. They want us to fix pensions. We've gotten that message, and we understand what we have to do. But all that's in jeopardy if there's no movement and no ability to want to move and negotiate in a fair way on these issues. So all we're asking for is the opportunity, reaching out to the other side of this building, and asking for the opportunity to have sincere, constructive conversations and dialogue and negotiations to help address what the people of Pennsylvania sent us to do here, and that is to make investments in education, make investments in job creation and job growth opportunities, address our pension system, making sure we invest in human service programs so that come July 1st, we're not sending fewer dollars or no dollars back to our counties for human service programs, for drug and alcohol programs, for mental health programs, for a variety of other nonprofit-type programs that provide services to the people of Pennsylvania. We have to make certain that we don't allow other barriers that are not a high priority with other Pennsylvanians, the most 98% of Pennsylvania, to block us from being able to do that. So I'm calling upon my colleagues on both sides of this chamber and both sides of this aisle and both sides of this building to allow us the opportunity to negotiate in good faith towards reaching common ground. Compromise, common ground. That's what they sent us here for. That's what we must do. Otherwise, at the end of the day, what happens? Our kids will be hurt. Our human service programs won't be funded. Seniors won't have property tax relief. And we are going to be faced with Commonwealth residents are going to look into us and say, let me get this straight. You all put wine and spirit privatization before our kids and before our seniors and before our programs and our services. That's not where we want to be. That's why we have to have a sincere conversation about how we move forward, and we look forward to that opportunity over the course of the next 8 days. And if it takes longer, that's okay. As long as what we do right, and we get it right. And that's what we're working towards.